Welcome to another edition of Ultimate Key to Freedom, questions, answers, shares, whatever. If you've been waiting a while for a response to a question that you submitted, please accept my apology. I was on vacation, and when I take a vacation these days, which I ironically haven't taken many of in the last few years, actually, looking back, surprises me to say that, I completely disconnect. So I don't check email. I don't do anything related to work. I completely disengage. And I was going to send an email out to let people know there was going to be a delay, but my bias at this point in the story is a lot of people just don't open emails, or they don't read them carefully, or they don't get around to it. And then I was busy before I left, and so I didn't send out a notification. Once again, my apologies. So in this audio, I will be answering all of the questions from the previous week, as well as this week, which will be uploaded, this audio, on Friday, October 30th, 2015. So let's see what we've got. This first question, oh, and by the way, so I don't forget, if you happen to be listening to this audio pretty close to October 30th when it launches, uploads, I just want to let you know we are in the process. You'll get emails about this, but I'm going to put it here too. We are in the process of shifting the location for all of our online experiences. We're using a new software tool to house and manage and offer our online experiences. And we're doing our best to make sure that the transition is as easy and smooth as possible, but that's a hard thing to do. So you will be getting some emails. If you get any emails from me that have something in the subject line about, you know, urgent, important, about your Ultimate Freedom Access, please be sure to open all those emails right away. Read them carefully, follow all instructions that you may have to make the transition, again, as easy and smooth as possible. The odds are there will be some hiccups, so apologize in advance. But we're going to do our best to make everything as seamless and easy as possible. And if there are any issues that you experience, just let us know. We'll jump on them right away and get everything fixed. Okay, so the first question, and the odds are this first question is from Kim, and she's been waiting the longest because I'm doing these in order of when they were submitted. Kim has completed, she says day five, but I think what she means is day four. Anyway, I just finished listening to all 5 days of the Ultimate Freedom Experience class. I'm a bit confused as to how to proceed. I feel as if I have no power / control over any future events, parentheses kind of depressing. If it is just a story that is unfolding from creative essence and it could go in any direction, part of me gets it, but the other part is concerned about issues out of my control, financial and health, since I'm having issues with both. So I just need to detach from all outcomes, ? Emotionally, that is difficult for me. Do you have any advice? Isn't there anything you can do to steer my path? Okay, Kim. Since you've completed all of the videos, my first suggestion to you before I address your question directly is, it'll take you a while, but my suggestion to you is go to the Q&A section, download the audios there, and slowly but surely, whatever pace works for you, start to work your way through the archive of Q&As that I've done with people historically, because this is a question that comes up a lot. And I've gone into great detail in it, coming at it from different angles. And it doesn't make sense for me to give a 20-minute answer to something, so to speak. I'm making up the 20 minutes when I've already done that multiple times, coming at it from different angles. So since you've completed the core information, that would be my invitation to you, as well as to everybody else listening. If you've completed the core content, is to go into, if you haven't already, the Q&A archive and start working your way through it. My suggestion would be work your way through it, start to finish from the first one all the way to the last one, but you will notice that there is an index that has what's on every audio and what's at every, you know, what's at the 5-minute point, what's at the 10-minute point, whatever. And if you wanted to, Kim or anyone else listening, you could download and print out that index, scan through it, and look for questions that I answered from people that have similar issues and shortcut it that way. But to me, the Q&A archive is such a gold mine of support and inspiration and guidance that and it's almost like a separate course, you might say. And so that would be my invitation for you. Having said that, let me just give you a brief response to this. And the first thing that I want to say is everything that you have shared here is the buzzword of the mind machine. At the purely idea and concept level, the mind machine is processing what you just discovered in the videos, but it purely at the idea and concept level. And so it's buzzing and worrying, and it's kicking out these quote-unquote objections and a statement saying, I'm confused. If you go through the Ultimate Key to Happiness companion course and companion videos, and I suggest that you go through that completely. There is review in it of what you discovered already, but it's good review. And then there are some other things that I did not go into as much detail on or didn't cover at all. One of those is in Lesson 9 in the Ultimate Key to Happiness companion course. It's called Lesson 9, I believe. The number is different, I just changed things for the new portal that we're going to be using. But the title of it is Bridging the Gap. So whether it's 8 or 9 or 10, it's Bridging the Gap is the title. And in that, I go into a detailed description of the stages that tend to appear. And there's no rule or formula, but they tend to appear. They did in the Robert story, and they do in many, many, many of the other people's stories where ultimate freedom is awakening. And it talks about a stage that I call the destabilization of the mind machine. Again, there's more about this in the Q&A archive. And that's a stage where, in brief terms, the mind machine has been seriously messed with. The truth virus has done a lot of work to change the mind machine, the content, the programs, the algorithms, all of it. And the mind machine is in an unstable state. For a really long time, it was able to answer its three questions and buzz and whir and live life and do all these things with a lot of stuff on autopilot, with it appearing to go, oh, I know what that is, and I know what to do, and I know the answers to the three questions, and blah, blah, blah. But now, as a result of the Ultimate Key to Freedom teachings, it's been seriously messed with, and when it tries to answer its three questions, it can't do it on autopilot the way that it did, because there's all this new data, and it's been seriously messed with. It's not a perfect metaphor, but if you want to look at this, you could think of it as if the mind machine was a person, and it's not. But look at it for this purpose as if it was. And imagine that before it was confident, and now it's insecure. It's insecure about the answers to the three questions, particularly the final one, which is how do I respond, which is the action one. So what you're describing here is something that happens a lot. Again, you'll see it a lot in the Q&A archive if you accept my invitation, take my advice, so to speak. This is very common. Language sometimes exactly the same way, language sometimes different way. But when you say, part of me gets it, part of me is concerned about this and that, and, you know, what am I supposed to do? The mind machine's looking for an answer to the third question. How do I respond? And it doesn't have one. Because the old thing, the old way of being is kind of out the window in a way, and it doesn't know what it should do yet because it's been destabilized. So this is a stage. As you'll hear, if you go through the archive, it doesn't last. I can't give you a prediction of how long it will last. For some people, it's a relatively short blip. For some people, it's a longer blip. For other people, it appears, and then it disappears, and then it appears again, and then it disappears until it ultimately disappears completely. But it's a stage. It's a way station on the journey. It's a blip. It doesn't last. And it is a sign that the truth virus is active and doing its work, and that ultimate freedom is awakening. If these kinds of things did not appear, you could say that, again, don't take this too literally, but you could say the truth virus had not yet had impact or was not having impact, but when these kinds of things surface, as uncomfortable as they can appear in a story told by the mind machine, which is, again, what you're narrating, the mind machine is telling a story about the fact that it isn't able to answer the three questions as quickly and easily and on autopilot as it was before. It's really good news, lack of a better term, because again, it is a sign that the truth virus is at work. The mind machine has been messed with. Ultimate freedom is beginning to awaken. Progress is being made, etc. So even though it seems to some people like it's a problem, they've lost something, they're backtracking, they're in trouble, they feel unstable, they feel confused, they feel whatever, and that's perceived in a story to be negative. It's actually very positive. It's a very good sign. It is a stage that passes. Do I have any advice? No. Is there anything that needs to be done? No. Again, that's the mind machine wanting to answer its three questions, especially the last one, which is, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And I want to have an answer to that question in advance so that anytime I see da-da-da-da happening, I know that this is what I'm going to do, which is the way that the mind machine runs so much of the time in phase one and in phase two. It makes up these rules. Anytime X happens, I respond with Y. Anytime I'm this, then I do that. And it has rules and formulas that then get replicated on autopilot over time. And so, no, this is something where, once again, this will take care of itself. I'll give you another metaphor that you heard me talk about, I believe, on day four. It could have been day three that it started. I don't remember because I'm so used to the five-day format now when I do this live. But who you really are is true creative essence. Again, you'll hear a lot about this in the archive if you go through the Q&A archive, as I invited you to. Who you really are is true creative essence, actually true creative essence. Not a spark of consciousness, not a whatever of God, you know, whatever, like is in so many spiritual teachings. Who you really are, who you really always have been, is true creative essence, total immersion, reading your quote-unquote story, the Kim story. And so if you were reading a novel and there were the heroine, the hero of the story was named Kim, and you're on page 256, and you've been reading this story about this character named Kim, and as you've been turning the pages and reading this story, you read about the fact that she had this ultimate freedom experience, and all of a sudden you're on page 256, and you're reading that the Kim character is having the same kind of a response that you are. On the bottom of page 256, you read, Kim thought to herself, I'm confused. I don't really know how to live anymore. I mean, part of me gets it, but another part of me doesn't. What am I supposed to do about my money issues? And what am I supposed to do about my health issues with this new ultimate freedom thing that I just discovered? And so you're at the bottom of page 256. And when you're reading a novel, you don't really think about it consciously. Again, there's a lot of this in the archive. But what's going on is you're reading the story and you're saying to yourself, okay, Kim's confused. Kim just had this major transformative experience and she doesn't know what to do. And so what happens to you is you turn the page and you go to page 257 and you keep reading, curious to see. Again, you don't usually think about it consciously, but you could. I wonder what's going to happen to Kim. I wonder what's going to happen in her life as a result of this ultimate freedom stuff. I wonder what she's going to do about her money stuff. I wonder what she's going to do about her health stuff. And you don't do anything. When you're reading the novel, you don't try to fix Kim's story. You don't try to jump into the story and give Kim advice. You're the reader of the story that someone else wrote. So you keep turning the pages, and ultimately you find out what happens to Kim. And I realize it doesn't seem that way right now. It didn't to me at the beginning. It doesn't to most people, bear with the language, on this journey. But that's ultimately what it becomes. And so I continue to remind people and shine the light of truth with a capital T on that. And so it's a similar thing. The pages in the Kim story are going to get turned. This blip of destabilization of the mind machine is going to take care of itself. What's going to happen with the money and health stuff and anything else is going to take care of itself. And it will reveal itself as the Kim story continues with this major new development influence, the truth virus at work in the Kim story. And so it's day at a time, minute at a time, hour at a time, whatever, however you want to look at it. And this will take care of itself. But no, there isn't any specific advice. This is not a change, fix, and improve path. This is not a come up with a rule and a formula and a strategy for how to succeed in life or solve problems. And I realize if you're like I used to be, and like many people who come to the Ultimate Freedom teachings were, which is thinking that they are very active, you know, doers, and they jump on things, and when they need to solve a problem, they go find a whatever, a mentor, a teacher, a helper, a guide, a strategy, a technique, a tool, whatever, and then they apply it, and they're doers, and they're active, and they make stuff happen, and blah, blah, blah. None of it's true. It's always true creative essence that's the doer making everything happen. But this will take care of itself, and the opportunity is, to whatever degree it appears, and it may not appear a lot for a while, or it may, especially after listening to this, or it may not. You'll hear a lot more about this in the archive, and you'll find out a lot more about it if you go to that lesson 9, Bridging the Gap, or 8 or 10 or whatever it is in the Ultimate Key to Happiness course, going through the stages. This will all take care of itself as an amazing story unfolds. There's nothing in particular that you need to do. There's nothing in particular that I would say or advice that I give or anything, any steering or strategy. True Creative Essence has this all handled, has a plan, has written the story. The story's unfolding. And again, all this is that you're narrating here is the buzzword of the mind machine. So again, my invitation to you is go through the archive, again, start to finish, or download the Master Index, skim through it quickly, look for the references to Q&A, where I responded to somebody asking a similar question, what am I supposed to do, what about this, what about that, I'm confused, how do I live, these kinds of things. And when you're ready, you know, go and do the Ultimate Key to Happiness videos, or jump right to, before you do the whole thing, to the Bridging the Gap one. And learn about those stages. And again, this will take care of itself. That doesn't mean don't come back here and ask any other questions or clarification questions or complain or share other things that are going on or ask for my advice, because I said that. But this is the best support that I can give you right now. If it means anything to you, again, you're not alone. This is a stage that just about everybody goes through. I went through. Bear with the language. It's common, it's typical, that's why I label it as a stage, destabilization of the mind machine, and then ultimately it stabilizes. You'll learn more about that in Bridging the Gap, that video. And so that's what I feel motivated to share with you right now, Kim. My invitation to you is, before you come back and continue the discussion, listen to this a few times, let it sit, listen to it again, at least listen to a couple of Q&A archive things, even if you use the index to skim and find where I've talked about some of these kinds of things, at least listen to the, Bridging the Gap video. Let all of that kind of sit and ripple through before you come back and bring up this specific same issue again. That's my invitation to you. And what happens, happens. It's all fine. I'm happy to continue to be of support, although there are times that I will defer it or I will say whatever. But so that's what I feel motivated to share with you now, right now, Kim. Again, you're not alone. This is very common. It doesn't last. It's an important stage. Ultimately, the opportunity and what happened in the Robert story, and I've seen happen in so many other stories, which again, you'll hear about in the archive, is that looking back on this after going through it, it's quite a delicious, highly appreciated, wow kind of an experience. But when we're in the middle of it, it can appear very different, and it can appear stressful and scary and all kinds of story kinds of things like that. Okay, let's move on. Okay, here we go. This question is from Dale, who has completed all of the Ultimate Key to Freedom videos. Dear Robert, thank you for the opportunity to ask you a question. From my bias, having been a seeker of truth for a long time now, that is truth with a capital T, of all the big questions of life, all capitalized, ultimately a consideration of where does true creative essence come from appears. Okay, I'm going to stop there, Dale. Dale continues, and I will continue through this, but Dale, I want to let you know that in the Ultimate Key to Freedom archive, this audio was uploaded on October 30th, and I believe you'll have to look at the indexes sometime in the last 3 weeks. So sometime in October, I believe. It could be last week of September, but I believe it was early October. This question was asked, and I answered it in more detail than I'm going to give here. So go ahead and look into the archive for a more detailed answer to that. Continuing, Do you envision a deity in which human beings are made in the image of, or speaking metaphorically and experientially, I think and feel? From what I perceive around us is energy in the form of trees and the rivers, the oceans, the mountains. True creative essence just is, question mark. It just exists. It just appears. And that is as far as our understanding goes because of our limitations as human beings and our created characters in the book of life. All creations just appear in this physical world. And when you say true creative essence is the grass, are you simply saying in my language, in many other people's language, God is all, God is everything, God is true creative essence, which means God is in us, and God is us. True creative essence is everywhere and is everything. Is this how you understand true creative essence to be? Okay, Dale, again, I'm going to refer you to the other audio that was done a few weeks ago. Understand, and this is the most important form of support that I can give you, this is just the buzzword of the mind machine. The mind machine's got a whole lot of stuff in it because, as you said, you've been a seeker of truth for a long time. So the mind machine's got all this shit in its database that it has studied and whatever, learned, accepted as true, considered as possible, whatever. It's got all this stuff in its database, and now it's got all this new stuff in its database with different language. And so it's trying to run its three questions. It's trying to cross-reference and cross file and link files and dot I's and cross T's with all of the stuff that was in its database and all this new stuff that just came in through the Ultimate Freedom teachings. It's trying to do that. And there's nothing wrong with that, and there's nothing bad about that. But my invitation to you and what ultimately happened in the Robert story is let all that stuff in the database be. And just focus on the new stuff that was communicated through the Ultimate Key to Freedom experience. And you may want to go through it again. As I invited Kim, you may want to start to work your way systematically through the Q&A archive. Make sure you go through the Ultimate Key to Happiness videos too. And then you may want to review these kinds of things over time at various points. That may be useful. It may not be needed in your story or someone else that's listening. The answer to your literal question, how do I see it? How I see it is exactly what it is that I shared in the Ultimate Key to Freedom experience. And the reason that a lot of the language is different is because I wanted to create new terms and attach different definitions and not use things like God and like other things that are out there and have different connotations and are part of different systems. But my literal answer to your question is what the whole course is about. And this is just the mind machine buzzing and whirring, like I said, trying to answer its questions, trying to organize its database, trying to cross-reference and cross-file and put neat little ribbons around everything. And there's no need for that. Again, there's nothing wrong with that. Ultimately, I feel like saying it's a waste of time, but there's no such thing, you know, and if it happens, it happens. And if it happens for a while and stops, and if at some point the mind machine, bear with the language, feels like it has completed this reorganization and cross-referencing of all of this stuff, fine. But ultimately, this is much more of a phase one thing. It's much more of a phase two to a lesser extent thing. Isn't important, doesn't mean anything, isn't needed. Because ultimately, when all of this drops down to experience, when ultimate freedom fully awakens, when a lot more sun is shining in, to use my language, all this stuff takes care of itself, and simultaneously, the mind machine stops buzzing and worrying and trying to do these kinds of things because that's what true creative essence shapes itself into because it just isn't needed. That kind of stuff is, again, supportive in phase one, supportive in phase two. Very often it can be supportive to one degree or another as a blip on the journey to ultimate freedom awakening. But the reconciliation of everything at the idea and concept level, resolving apparent differences and similarities between different teachings and different systems and different books and different teachers, and it isn't necessary on the path that you're currently on. And ultimately, when ultimate freedom awakens a little bit, so to speak, and certainly when it's fully awakened, these kinds of intellectual exercises, let's call it, become irrelevant, and therefore they drop out. And the other part of this, again, I'll let you go back to that audio in early October, but the simple answer that I gave in more detail is some of that stuff, where did true creative essence come from? I don't know. I don't think it's possible to know that or to understand that, as you hint at later. While we're in human form, too big, too complicated, too alien, whatever you want to call it. I don't know the answer. I'm never going to know the answer. I don't care. My bias is, again, it's irrelevant to day-to-day life. In day-to-day life, if there is an embracing, so to speak, a resonance, until it becomes experiential of what's in the Ultimate Freedom Teachings, then true creative essence is shaping itself into what's happening. All the other things that are part of the Ultimate Freedom Teachings are in motion, and all that matters is what's happening, as in your case, the Dale story, in my case, the Robert story, in the case of other people listening, their stories are in motion, they're unfolding, they're being total immersion read. There is the opportunity from that perspective, with a capital P, to experience everything radically differently with Ultimate Freedom Awake, and that's all that matters. And all these other theoreticals and speculative kinds of things for me have dropped away, because as you'll hear me say, if you go back to that earlier thing in October, what has happened in the Robert story, which I have a bias, is a very wise way to be, so to speak, useful, supportive way to be, is if there's a question and I either cannot ever answer it with certainty from the limited perspective of the human experience, or if I could answer it with absolute certainty, but it wouldn't have any practical value on my life, except the mind machine crossing it off its list and saying, oh, okay, I understand that now. I've got a satisfactory answer to that now, crosses it off its list and doesn't buzz and worry about it anymore. I just don't go there. And so for me, this is both of those. These kinds of questions about where did true creative essence come from and this and that, I'm never going to be able to have any answer of that with certainty. And even if I did, it wouldn't have any practical value. It's just a curiosity, a speculative, a theoretical, what I used to call, just to mess with people and hammer a point home in an aggressive way, it's what I used to call a bullshit question, because it seems important, but it isn't. And again, it either can't be answered, or if it could be answered, there's no practical value. Okay, thanks, Dale. Here we go. Moving on. This next question is from Angie. Let me enlarge this so it's easier to read. Angie recently attended the live Ultimate Key to Freedom 5-day experience at my home in September 2015. I began to get your Q&A videos this past July, and my two daughters and I attended your live event last month. The mind machine is going crazy right now. Boy, do I know that feeling, Angie, as you know, if you remember my story that I narrated on day three. Continuing, Angie owns a life coaching business which has been built on the foundation of empowering herself and others, and she is going through a lot of fear. She's in transition between her old beliefs and the new ones, which tell her she has no control over anything. She is feeling futile and betrayed by God. Angie has always delivered the message of faith in a higher power. She'd pray and meditate and do a daily self-care routine. Much of this has fallen away for her, and she feels unstable and unsupported. All right, the question continues, but I'm going to stop there for a moment. I just want to remind you, Angie, and my guess is when I say this, you'll instantly say, yes, I know, yes, I know, yes, I know, or some sort of a thing like that. But I just want to remind you anyway. If you go back to what I narrated as my story on day three, and even though it was, probably was 3 hours, you know, 3.5, 4 hours, whatever that whole my story section was, there was so much that I didn't say because there was not time and it wasn't necessary. But for whatever it's worth, the Robert character went through these same kinds of things. Different language. I didn't language things using God very much. You know, I did with the Busting Loose teachings as a line in the using the process in the mini process. But if you were to go back, and I'm not suggesting you do this, but if you were to go back and look at my first two books, The Invisible Path to Success and The 11th Element, this was me teaching people empowering ideas and how to go about getting what you want in life, because that's what I was trying to do. And when what I call the busting loose phase two teachings began to reveal themselves, and I began to see that I wasn't driving the bus and that stuff was all bullshit and it could work that way, if what I then called consciousness shaped itself into patterns in the field that would support what those techniques, you know, the empowering kinds of things and taking action and all that. I wouldn't have said that I felt betrayed necessarily, although, as you know, part of my story was I felt victimized by Source, by what we now call True Creative Essence, that it hated me and would take every opportunity to screw everything I was trying to do up because it hated me, that kind of crazy stuff, as you know. But so I went through an awful lot of this kind of stuff, and I went through it for long periods of time. You know, I went through it in one way as the Busting Loose Phase 2 teachings were becoming active in the Robert story, and then to a different degree, but just as disruptive, so to speak, as you know from my story, or you might imagine if you think about it a little bit more, or remind yourself of, I don't know what went on inside of you as I was narrating my story there, but so anyway, I understand, you know, and I understand feeling unstable, and I definitely understand feeling unsupported. It doesn't have to be, as I mentioned, part of the awakening of ultimate freedom, but it tends to be because the cloud cover is so solid and dense and it's got so much bullshit in it, so to speak, bullshit meaning not true, and is so dense and solid, and so much has to be dynamited, and the truth virus has to change so many things. Bear with all of this language, you know what I mean. And so that's just what I wanted to say. And again, as I mentioned earlier, you have a unique wrinkle that everybody doesn't with a life coaching business, but to one degree or another, this is a stage that everybody or most people, or it's very common in stories where ultimate freedom is awakening, that this kind of a thing with unique wrinkles comes up and that there's a feeling of instability and not being supported. It's very common, which you know because you addressed that later. It happened in spades, to use an old saying in the Robert story. I totally know exactly what you mean. And as I mentioned earlier, ultimately, this will take care of itself. You're on whatever page of the story. The pages are continuing to get turned. True Creative Essence has a plan for your career and your life and everything else that you feel is messed up right now or unstable or whatever else. And the story will unfold and this will take care of itself like it did with me. And I'm not giving you rules or formulas or predictions or anything else, but I'm just reminding you that the story that I narrated, I kind of started before the Busting Loose Phase 2 teachings came through, and then narrated through that, and then narrated the final transition with Ultimate Freedom Awakening, and that final transition of the Ultimate Freedom teachings starting to reveal themselves and then dropping piece by piece into experience. That was 3 years. And you're narrating this you wrote this on October 21st. I'm recording this on October 28th. Which is about, 5 weeks after a major disruption to your life and the mind machine. So you're 5 weeks into this, you know. And again, I'm not saying it's going to take you 3 years. I'm not going to say whatever. I don't know. But I'm just telling you, for me, I was in the kind of state that you're describing to one degree or another for multiple years, two times. First in the transition into phase two and drilling through the cloud cover, and then again in a different way as ultimate freedom was awakening. And it tends to be necessary in order to make an amazing story and to make the journey from point A to point B. Point B being ultimate freedom, fully awake, being an amazing story in a unique way, in this case, in the Angie story. So continuing. Angie is not living in ultimate freedom. I'm going to stop there. Angie is never going to live in ultimate freedom. There is no Angie. There is no individual who could live in ultimate freedom. Ultimate freedom means living, using my language, as true creative essence, total immersion, reading the Angie story. So Angie's never going to be living in ultimate freedom. Now, I know you could say, come on, Robert, you're jumping on my words. It's hard to put this into language like you yourself say. You know what I meant. Yes, I know what you mean, and I know it's difficult to explain, but there's also something in there that I want to push on. You know, Angie is never going to be living in ultimate freedom, but ultimate freedom can be awake in the Angie story, which means it can be, the Angie story can be experienced as true creative essence, total immersion, reading the Angie story and everything that comes with that. Okay, continuing. Angie's not living in ultimate freedom and so cannot congruently teach it. And yet she doesn't feel authentic teaching all of the law of attraction and its offshoots either. What should she teach while in this transition phase? Okay, I'm going to stop there. This is very similar to what I said earlier and you heard me say during the 5 days. And again, for whatever reason, I don't know why, I just keep using the example of page 256. Again, imagine you're on the bottom of page 256 in the Angie story. And in that, the bottom of page 256, the last words on the page are, Angie thought to herself, what the hell am I supposed to do? I'm a teacher. I got a life coaching business. I've got clients, existing clients, and I have stuff in motion that can bring new clients into my sphere of influence. What the hell am I supposed to do? And the last word, character on the bottom of page 256 is the question mark. What the hell am I supposed to do now? What am I supposed to teach people when I'm in this in-between stage? So right there, you're on the bottom of page 256. You're reading this book. And on the bottom of page 256, you see that this Angie character that's the hero of this story that you're reading, imagine that your life was a novel and you were reading it. And so again, it wouldn't be conscious, but what's going on in the mind of a reader right then is, whoa, wow, Angie's got quite a challenge there. And again, it usually isn't conscious, but it's what's up as the reader of a story at that point is, wow, I wonder how Angie's going to resolve this. You as the reader of the story don't try to resolve it. You don't try to figure it out for the character that you're reading the novel about. You know you can't. We talked about all of this on day 3 and I think again on day 5 maybe in the live intensive you attended at my house. But what you do as the reader of the story is you're very curious about what's going to happen. So what do? You turn the page. And you keep reading the story. And as the story continues to unfold, the author reveals what she wrote and takes care of on future pages what Angie's going to teach. So this will take care of itself. Again, after Ultimate Freedom Awakened in the Robert story, and after I began to teach Bear with the Language, I'm not going to be concerned about transformational vocabulary here, after I was actually teaching Ultimate Freedom, and knew that it was, lack of a better term, don't take this too literally, an extension of the Busting Loose Phase 2 teachings and, you know, took it deeper and there was more sunshine revealing itself, whatever. All of a sudden, I started getting requests. I got requests in Japan. I got requests in China, from China, and I got requests from Germany to do live Busting Loose from the Money Game events. And I hadn't taught that stuff. I don't know, in 5 or 6 years, didn't have any interest in teaching that stuff. As valuable and as cherished and appreciated as it was, and with full knowledge that it's what, as I mentioned, ultimately knocked out enough cloud cover in the Robert story at the story level that supported the awakening of ultimate freedom in such a beautiful way, it still was kind of looked at as obsolete. I'm not there anymore. I'm somewhere else. And when the invitations first came in, there even was an appearance in Inner Space of, do I want to do this? Should I say no? I don't know that I want to go teach money game stuff or Busting Loose stuff now when I'm in the middle of all of this. And what ended up happening is I accepted these speaking engagements and they were amazing, wonderful adventures. And I had fun. And some of the way that I taught it was adapted. You know, some of the Ultimate Freedom stuff leaked through. Some things were explained exactly the way they were explained in the Money Game teachings and in the Money Game book, which had been translated into Japanese, Chinese, and German, and people that came, a lot of them, most of them had read the book. And I was aware, you know, what appeared in Inner Space was I'm not here anymore. I wouldn't language it this way anymore. There wasn't any this is bullshit and this is crap, which you may be thinking related to law of attraction and stuff. It was an extension. It was a deepening of truth, experiencing truth with a capital T. But there was still that kind of an element of I'm not here anymore. I don't really want to be teaching this anymore. And in advance, I thought it wasn't going to be fun. Kind of a thing, but it was, and it was a total blast. And the Ultimate Freedom Teachings, again, leaked into it. If you had looked at the way I presented stuff in Japan and in China and in Germany, which is the most recent one, and the way I, you know, did it when I was actively teaching those things 5, 6, 7 years earlier, you would have noticed the differences. And now you would have said, oh, I see where Ultimate Freedom is leaking its way into what he's teaching. But it took care of itself. And this will take care of itself. And what it may mean is you'll continue to teach what you were teaching because there's a business in motion. And there will be buzzword of mind machine and inner space noise saying, this is crap, I'm a fraud, this is fake, this is bullshit. But the reality is, and you're narrating this from your own life, Angie, even though from the perspective of truth with a capital T, the things that you were teaching, my bias, including law of attraction and all that other stuff, is not true, is not accurate, is not really the way it works. It was very useful for a long time, I'm going to say, in the Angie story, and my guess is with your daughters. And it's very useful in different ways to the stories of everybody that was ever involved with it, that's involved with it now, that may embrace it for a long time or a short time in the future. It's not bad or wrong. It's not stupid. It's not lying. True creative essence shapes itself into these things appearing to be true, or the hope that it's true and using it, hoping that it'll be the magic bullet, and then finding out that it's not, and all these things. It's all perfect raw material. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing bad with it. You're not out of integrity. These are all kinds of stories that the mind machine can buzz and whir and tell. And if true creative essence shapes itself into you teaching this stuff, the same stuff that you did, the same way that you did, and then there being noise and inner space about it during or after or before, then that's what's most supportive to the Angie story. And if kind of like what happened to me in Japan, China, and Germany happens, that you slightly adapt, if true creative essence shapes itself, not because I'm giving you this as a prescription or because Angie decides or, you know, whatever. If what happens is you do a workshop that you used to do where you taught what you used to teach, but it gets slightly modified in your transitionary stage, unstable stage right now, like it was with me with Money Game, as I narrated, then that's what happens. If you stop teaching, then that's what's most supportive. If you start trying to teach the ultimate freedom thing and you discover what I kind of mentioned when you made a comment to Nancy after you went home that it's difficult to do that without it being experiential and just recycling the ideas and concepts about it, and then there's mind machine noise about that, then that's what happens. It'll take care of itself. My bias, and I could be wrong on this, but whether I'm accurate or inaccurate, my experience, I think I mentioned this during the 5-day that you attended, is that if the Robert character in this context of Q&A, coaching, support, playing the role of teacher, coach, facilitator, whatever, says something to somebody, even if it's ultimately inaccurate from a certain story level perspective, it's still somehow useful, and I trust that. My bias is that this thing about, I'm jumping ahead to the hypnotist thing, that's the mind machine hoping that maybe if it does that, it'll resolve this instability, this fear, the discomfort that's associated with this in-between stage, and it won't. It's just the mind machine trying to solve this problem, and by grabbing onto some other seminar, some other workshop, some other approach, some other way to make money, there's a story that says that might solve this problem, so to speak, or put a Band-Aid on the cut, you know, that hasn't healed yet or whatever else, and it won't. That doesn't mean don't do it. Based on what you said, it's not likely that it's going to happen based on what you said, your husband said. But anyway, that's the mind machine buzzing and worrying and trying to find a way to resolve this, to be able to move through this unstable, what feels like unsupported stage. And there's no way through this. There's no shortcut. There's no real Band-Aid. The only way through this is through this. And very often in the way that it's perceived, it was for me, if you remember my story, is unstable, unsupported, painful, scary, exhausting, stressful, whatever word or words you want to use to describe the story the mind machine will tell about going through these kinds of stages. Now you talk about StorySpace has been unkind financially. All right, now you know that that's pure bullshit. That's just a story. There's no kind or unkind from a truthful with a capital T perspective. As you remember me talking about, although a lot of people, a lot of mind machines, so to speak, don't like it, when I talked about the fact that the flow of money as a detail in a story, like every other detail in a story that has nothing to do with money, every detail, is all there in order to perfectly support the story. And as you know, there was a lot of financial stress and difficulty and challenges and compression and issues in my story. It's not necessary, it's not required, but it's very useful. And it's what appears in many stories, if that's what would be most supportive. And in this case, it is, because it's stirring this kind of stuff up, which is all part of the truth virus doing its work. Lies, illusions, and stories, the old things that you used to teach appearing to be the way it is, and moving into experiencing the truth of how it really is, different than that. And that's what you're narrating. She could always rely on God to pull her through each month in amazing ways. Well, that was a story. Somewhere along the line, you read a book or more than one book, you attended a workshop or more than one workshop, you had an audio or video course or whatever, and that was the teaching. God will take care of you, God will provide, and sometimes it's God will take care of you or God will provide if you da-da-da-da fill in the blank for something that you need to do on your part. And so, and again, I wouldn't have languaged it that way, but in the Robert story, before the leap into phase two was made and I began using the tools and embracing the phase two busting loose teachings, there were times there was lots of money. There were times that there wasn't. There was times that there was big debt and then it got paid off. But basically, there was a belief in the Robert mind machine that it'll take care of itself. And then I went through a phase with the busting loose phase two teachings where it was what I call just-in-time money. You know, I'm going to use regular language. A bill would be due on October 15th and the money would show up on October 14th. Or October 16th or October 15th at 5 o'clock so that the payment was a day late or whatever, but the money still showed up when it was needed. It was just last minute. It was what I call just-in-time money. And then in that final 3 years when Ultimate Freedom was fully awakening, it blew way past that where the just-in-time wasn't happening. And I think I mentioned there was a period where 3 months in a row I couldn't pay the mortgage on my house, and there was a period that I couldn't pay Nancy her salary, and there was a period when I got way behind on all kinds of things. And then what came up is, you know, you always took care of stuff. You know, consciousness expanded itself, what I was now calling true creative essence, and now you're not, asshole, you know, and there was that kind of stuff. But all of these, this was cloud cover being dissolved. This was lies, illusions, and stories being exchanged for an experience with a capital E, of truth with a capital T, and that's what's going on here. And yes, I get, believe me, I get how difficult and stressful and scary or whatever else it appears, and it's miraculous. As I mentioned earlier, it is in fact a sign that the truth virus is at work and that the mind machine is being changed and that ultimate freedom is awakening. And it's a sign of good stuff happening, so to speak, truth with a capital T, becoming more and more experiential as all of this stuff is being dynamited, transformed, dissolved, whatever word you want to use, it doesn't matter. You said Angie's aware that this is all mind machine trying to adapt. It's painful. Yes, I know. It appears that way. You're also aware you don't really want to resist any of it, and something spectacular is waiting for you around the corner. I would invite you, and again, if you had told me this, When I was in the middle of my story, I would not have been able to accept it, and it's true anyway, just like Nicolas Cage said in City of Angels, some things are true whether you believe them or not. It's not that stuff sucks now and something spectacular is going to happen later. Something spectacular, beyond spectacular, with a capital S, is happening right now. And all of this stuff that you're narrating is the evidence and the proof, even though it doesn't seem like it, that that's what's happening. And I get that right now it appears stressful and scary and unstable and blah, blah, blah. And at some point that won't be the story. And so the mind machine could weave together a story that says it sucked then and it's good now, or it's better now or whatever. But at that point, with ultimate freedom fully awake, it won't be that way. That won't be the story. The story will be, wow, that was amazing, and now this is amazing, and then everything's amazing afterwards going forward when ultimate freedom is fully awake. So, again, to me, everything that you're saying here is good news. Everything that you're saying here is common to the miracle, with a capital M, of ultimate freedom awakening, of the rest of the cloud cover being knocked out, of becoming, at the experiential level, bear with the language, who you really are, who you've always been, and being on this journey into ultimate freedom awakening in a story, and everything being experienced with a capital E in a different way after that happens. All of this that you're narrating is evidence that that's in motion, that progress is in fact being made. This really hasn't happened that much, but it happens with like YouTube videos, and it happens with other things on my blog and stuff when someone hasn't actually been through the ultimate freedom experience. But if it hasn't happened, and the odds are it has, from an online experience probably, if it hasn't, it will. If it's happened a little, it'll happen more. Odds are there will be people in their stories, mind machines that come to the ultimate freedom teachings, go through the whole thing. Truth virus doesn't do anything, doesn't do much. They reject it all. They disagree with it all, the mind machine, whatever. But everything that you're narrating here is evidence, is proof, is documentation that the truth virus is at work. Again, that ultimate freedom is awakening, that things are changing, that a journey is being taken from lies, illusions, and stories into direct experience of truth with a capital T. And again, I get how difficult it seems, but it'll all take care of itself. And the truthful dynamic of what will happen, even if it doesn't seem that way, and at times it may, as ultimate freedom awakens more and more and more, it is in fact how everything will be experienced with a capital E and perceived with a capital P, is it's going to be exactly like it is, going back to what I said before and what I also said to Kim about what happens when you read a novel. You're on a certain page in the Angie story where there's instability and there's fear and there's discomfort and da-da-da-da. And as the pages get turned, whether it's every minute, every hour, every day, however you look at when a page gets turned, all of this is going to take care of itself. My bias is ultimate freedom is going to awaken more and more and more. These things are going to resolve themselves however they resolve, with big changes or little changes or both in waves. The career issues will take care of themselves. Can't tell you when, can't tell you how or what it'll look like. The money stuff will take care of itself. Can't tell you when or how or what it'll look like. All this stuff will take care of itself. And again, remember, there's a lot of similarity between your journey and mine, although the content was different. In terms of having a business, coaching and teaching particular things that then get seriously messed with, and adaptation has to take place. At any point on the Robert journey, what could have happened is Robert could have stopped being a spiritual teacher, so to speak, being a coach, so to speak, could have gone off and done something else, been a movie director, you know, whatever else, a screenwriter, a novelist, whatever, and abandoned the teaching. That could have happened. It didn't. It's not now. Might at some point in the future. I'll retire from teaching and writing and speaking and do something else. What'll happen in the Angie story will happen. My bias, what's appearing in inner space now, for whatever it's worth, it could be wrong, is that Angie will continue to one shape or form to be a life coach, a teacher, or whatever you want to call what you've been doing, but doing it in a different way, Perhaps teaching different stuff. It'll be different somehow. Whatever it looks like, True Creative Essence has already written it, has already figured it out, already has a plan, however you want to language this, the words don't matter. It'll take care of itself, just like it does with great novels, as it does with great movies, even when the heroes appear to be in deep shit and there's no possible way they could ever get out of it and survive, or get out of it and survive without having pure wreckage to deal with afterwards. And that's what'll happen here. So I'll look forward to continuing to hear about how these things resolve if you want to share that. And again, if I was you, if someone had said these things to me when I was in the middle of what's appearing in the Angie story right now, most of it would be, yeah, I know what you're saying is true, but it doesn't help me. I still feel afraid and I still feel unstable and I still feel a need to solve this and figure it out and blah, blah, blah. And that's just can be the way it is until it's not. As a stage, as the truth virus is doing its work and giving you a tour of what it's working on and how it's being changed, and then you experience the changes, anything can happen. But again, I look at everything that's happening as very exciting, very good news, very excited to see. If I was reading this in a novel, I would really be riveted by it and would be very curious to see what was going to happen to Angie and would keep reading to find out. And that's kind of how I feel here in this position. Okay, so Angie, I welcome an ongoing dialogue, whether it's soon or it's after you listen to this a few times. Listen, let it sit. Listen, let it sit. Things will continue to unfold. You submitted this on the 21st. It's already a week has passed and some things may have happened already. But I welcome an ongoing dialogue or not, whatever happens. And okay, cool. Let's move on to the next one. Okay, here we go. The next one is from Joyce. Joyce has finished all of the Ultimate Key to Freedom content and also the Zoom effect in the Ultimate Key to Happiness, which I think, I'm not sure, I think it's a little past halfway through the Ultimate Key to Happiness experience. Okay. Wow, with a capital W. And by the way, she's using transformational vocabulary, which, as you know, I support. Words like I are put in quotes and other words are put in quotes, but I'm not going to read them because it just gets tedious in this. But know that she's doing that. I can't really find words to express what I am feeling. Words just seem to come from the mind machine and aren't representative of what could be expressed here. It is powerful. Laughable, too, at the questions from last week. It appears the mind machine was desperate, for lack of a better word, to exert itself. When I looked at inner space while listening to your responses, it felt like something was being pushed out or disappearing or dying, and attached to this movement of energy was a sad/scared story that said, you are nothing, there is only the story, and it is already written, so why try? Plus, the mind machine continued to struggle to accept the truth virus because it basically created a story that it was being replaced, and all the old mind machine stories about reincarnation that it liked for their comfort value were being blown out of the water. But that passed quickly, and inner space got less noisy, although what has recently appeared is a strong buzzing, like tinnitus. I don't know how you pronounce that. I'm going to stop there for a minute. It seems like you moved through this, so what I'm about to say may have already appeared in the Joyce story in inner space or someone else listening. The you are nothing, there is only the story and it's already written, but especially the you are nothing. It makes perfect sense from a phase one perspective that the purpose of the human experience in phase one is for you to have an experience being the opposite of who you really are. So to have a belief that you're nothing, that you're worthless, that you're whatever, certainly makes perfect sense as part of that. And it couldn't be more opposite to what the truth is with a capital T. First of all, who you really are, who you really have always been, is true creative essence, total immersion, reading your story. That experience is awakening, lack of a better term, as the dominant, forgive that word, way of perceiving the Joyce story and everybody else listening and hear the Robert story. But who you really are couldn't be more amazing, couldn't be more everything, couldn't be more opposite of nothing. But even if we forget that for the moment, think about J.K. Rowling and think about the Harry Potter stories. Harry Potter doesn't really exist. He's a fictional character. He's an expression of her, again, consciousness, imagination, essence, whatever you want to call it. So is Voldemort, the absolute, the ultimate bad guy. So is everybody else. But would J.K. Rowling say that they're nothing? Would J.K. Rowling say that they're worthless? Would J.K. Rowling say anything about them somehow being less than, less valuable, whatever, because they're fictional characters? No. I mentioned this, I believe. If you were to talk to J.K. Rowling and you were to ask her about how she feels about every creature, every building, every character, whether they were the good guys or the bad guys, so to speak, evil or good or whatever, she would say that she's in love with all of them. She thinks they're all amazing. And she's aware on some level that they're all part of her consciousness, although she may think she's channeling, you know, whatever, and she wouldn't really think that they're part of her in the way that I talk about it, or she might, I don't know. I have never read anything about how she perceives that kind of stuff. But would she say that they're nothing? Would she say, oh, you know, Harry Potter's nothing. He's just a fictional character. He doesn't have any power. He doesn't do anything. None of that stuff really happened, you know. It's just mind machine noise, which you've gotten. But I just wanted to add that other piece, that the you are nothing thing happens a lot. It's one of the things that's most difficult and scary for mind machines in certain stories to let go of, because there's some sort of a story like that, whether it would be language like that or not, that somehow I'm less than, or I'm a puppet, or I'm worthless, or I'm this or that. But it isn't the truth. It's just noise. It's just cloud cover. And ultimately, when the sun begins to shine, all of that drops away, and the experience is of being, I'm just going to call it the most amazing force, you know, with a capital F in the universe, whatever, however you would want to language, true creative essence and the truth of what's really going on. Okay, also, and by the way, I also just want to say there, Joyce, that I don't remember, but I believe that, like what I said to Angie, that maybe you're 3-4 weeks into the ultimate freedom experience, that you could be saying any of this after a life of whatever has happened, that you could be saying any of this kind of stuff, that some of that stuff that was noise, you know, in inner space that you narrated could have passed that quickly, you know, in less than a week or whatever. And some of it may come back, and before it disappears permanently and to one degree or another, it may not. It's a miracle that any of that could happen, that there could be any experience or awareness of truth with a capital T through all the noise, through all the mind machine stuff, through all the cloud cover, and it could happen that fast is amazing. Okay, continuing. Also, and this is a question, I haven't wanted to do anything else but listen to the program, although I make myself do my regular stuff, and I've been incredibly hungry all the time, especially for comfort food, should I be concerned. Well, Joyce, if you and I were sitting across from a table having a cup of coffee, and you asked me, you said that, and you said, should I be concerned? And I turned around and I said, well, Joyce, should you? What do you think? Should you be concerned? My guess is, to one degree or another, maybe not, you'd say something similar to what I'm about to say, which means on some level you know it. And this is just, again, it's a mind machine buzzword, worry, anxiety, kind of a thing. But should you be concerned? Well, I'm going to push on this. Some people love it, some people hate it, some people resist it, some people whatever, it doesn't matter. First of all, what's concern? Concern is a story. Something is appearing in inner space, something is appearing in story space, or a combination of the two. It's looked at, there's a name given to it, and there's a judgment given to it. A concern is a name, and it has a negative judgment to it. So should you be concerned? First of all, you don't have a choice. Concern's going to appear or not going to appear. It's going to appear and disappear and not last. It's going to appear and stay there for a while. Again, you submitted this on October 22nd. I'm answering this. I'm recording this on October 28th, so it's been almost a week. My guess is this has already moved since when you answered the question to one degree or another, but should you be concerned? That implies there's a choice. There's no choice. First of all, it's a story. There's no such thing as concern. There's just what's appearing. And what can appear in inner space is a thought in various shapes or forms, a feeling or a sensation with unique characteristics. And what appears is what appears. There is no concern or happy or being at peace with or whatever except in a story. And it implies, should I be concerned that there's a choice? There is no choice. What's going to appear is what's going to appear. So what's going to appear is you're going to not want to do anything but listen to the program for a while, and you're going to make yourself do stuff, so to speak. You're not making yourself do it. True Creative Essence has written that the Joyce character will, you know, sleepwalk through whatever, go through the motions of doing this stuff when she really just wants to be back going through the program. And there's going to be eating and or not eating, and there's going to be appearances of what you'd call concern or not. It'll take care of itself in the way that I've talked about. It may go on for a while. It may not. If I look at what happened in the Robert story, there were phases where I was eating an awful lot of stuff, including comfort food, as you're calling it. And I know other people that have done that. And I know other people that hasn't been part of their story. I know other stories where that kind of stuff happened for a while and then stopped. I know other stories where it happened for a long time and then there was weight gain or there was some other physical symptom and then that was part of what they were dealing with and that's what was written to be. I don't know. But should you be concerned? The literal answer to the question is, it's an irrelevant question. Again, concern's going to appear, not appear. It's going to be temporary, short duration, temporary, longer duration. The behavior and the opinion about it, the story about it, that's concerned, it'll take care of itself. It's not a problem. Remember, if you're reading a novel and you're on page 256 and you're reading on the bottom of page 256, you know, about a character, you're reading a novel and the character is saying the same exact thing you did. All of a sudden, after going through this experience, I've been hungry all the time and I've been wanting to eat comfort food and it's hard to do my regular stuff. And oh my God, should I be worried about this? Should I not be worried about this? What should I? And you're reading this on the bottom of page 256. So what are you going to do? Like you've heard me say twice now, you as the reader of the story without thinking about it consciously are very, very curious to see what happens with this character. So you'll continue to turn the pages and you'll find out. Does the character continue to not want to do anything but listen to the program? Does the character continue to be hungry and to eat? And is the character going to be worried about it? Is there going to be some side effect? Is she going to gain weight? Is there going to be whatever? Is somebody going to tell her she's become a pig and what's that all about? And then there's, you know, whatever. You're going to turn the pages as the reader of the story. You're going to find out what's been written. And the same thing's going to happen here. And all of this, to one degree or another, whether there's a dialogue with me that's involved with it or it's something I say through the videos or the audios or whatever else is involved or not, all of it is raw material to support the awakening of ultimate freedom to whatever degree in whatever way. Otherwise, it wouldn't be there. It's perfectly supportive, and it is contributing to the awakening of ultimate freedom happening, as I mentioned, and as Michael Haig talked about, with elements that make it a great story, versus lightning bolt, finger snap, happening in a minute, kind of a dynamic, which is what a lot of us, so to speak, a lot of mind machines would really want. Okay, great, Joyce. Thanks very much. Again, I welcome an ongoing dialogue about this or anything else. For you about this, from you about other stuff, from other people about this, or whatever. Okay, cool. Okay, what we have next. This is also from Joyce. Soon after I posted my last question, the answer appeared in inner space. I didn't observe the movement of energy yet, but the voice was very clear. What's to worry about anyway? It's just the mind machine playing tricks. Relax and let the truth virus do its work. Okay, I'm going to stop there. This is tricky, and so Joyce or anybody else listening, if there's confusion about this, please come on back and let's go back and forth and resolve it. There are times, first of all, it's just the mind machine playing tricks. Relax and let the truth virus do its work. That's all accurate. That will happen at some point. It is just the mind machine playing tricks. If there was just relaxation and letting the truth virus do its work, the perception and experience of everything would be very different. And a lot of times, That is still, ironically, the voice of the mind machine, even though it's talking about itself. And it's still buzzing and worrying and trying to do its thing, including the third question, how to respond, and can kick noise like that out. And the fact that a thought appears in inner space that says relax and let the truth virus do its work is valueless. It's just a voice, you know, whatever it is, that's saying, hey, just relax and let the truth virus do its work. You know, it's advice, it's recommendation, it's a prescription. There isn't any individual that can follow the advice, that can actually do that, that can make that happen that way. It may happen that way, you know, on this path. Now, I mean, on this path, that is, in fact, what happens. The mind machine, as a result of the work of the truth virus in your language, stops playing tricks less and less and less and less and less and less and less, according to some movement, and then gone. And yes, there is a relaxation, you could call it, that happens. And but again, if you take the words literally, you do not have the ability, I do not have the ability, nobody listening has the ability to let the truth virus do anything. And we don't have the ability to relax and let anything happen. You know, I mean, what happens, happens, and we're aware of it as the total immersion reader of the story. So we'll see what happens, but my guess is this is not what it may seem to be, that it's true creative essence talking to you and telling you the truth about this. The odds are this is the mind machine buzzing and worrying and kicking stuff out, trying to come up with a same thing like you've heard me say multiple times so far. There is all this craziness in inner space, so to speak, that you narrated way back. And now all of a sudden there's a description of it. If it's just the mind machine playing tricks, just relax and blah, blah, blah. Relaxation may happen. It may not happen. It may come and go. It's a nice, pretty story. It's a nice wrapper to wrap everything up in, but it doesn't always work that way until enough cloud cover is knocked out, until ultimate freedom awakens more and more and more. So again, the odds are, even though it's just the mind machine playing tricks, you might think it's a little weird that the mind machine would actually say that, so to speak, about itself, that thoughts like that would appear from a character appearing in inner space about, you know, the mind machine or whatever, but it's more noise. Nothing wrong with it, nothing bad, nothing wrong with you, nothing bad with any of this happening. I'm just shining the light of truth on it, that those are still likely the output of the mind machine as it goes through its three questions and its unstable state as the truth virus is doing its work. Continuing, in my character story, there has always been a strong pull to the story of alchemy. I must have written this into my story to help with my own character's transformation. How interesting. Soon after this observation, for no obvious reason, I felt irritable and angry at my husband and watched how quickly the mind machine hijacked glimpses of the truth with a capital T breaking through. Okay, again, all of this, Joyce, is it's the journey, you know? It's the drilling through the cloud cover. It's the truth virus doing its work and giving you a guided tour of what it's working on as it's working on it. And let's say transforming it with a capital T. The word doesn't matter. That word's as good as any. And again, for no obvious reason, felt irritable and angry. If you're like I used to be, and many people whose journeys I'm aware of used to be, excuse me, there's a need to understand the why behind everything. There's the constant mind machine running its things. And whenever something happens, it's why is this happening? What's the point? On some spiritual paths, added to that is, what am I supposed to learn from this? How am I supposed to change? How is this in my best interest? You know, what am I supposed to do as a result of this? You know, whatever. But it doesn't matter. The reason is, on this journey, because true creative essence shaped itself into that, wrote it with a capital W, however you want to language it, it doesn't matter. Again, you're narrating part of the reason for it, you know, here anyway, because you were able to observe, get into a truthful or more truthful relationship with what was happening, not just in that moment, but with all moments by something like that happened. Okay, cool. Thanks, Joyce. See what's next here. Okay, this next one came in without a name. By the way, as you probably have noticed, I do not use last names anymore. Unless I slip and forget, so to speak, that's what appears at the story level. But my intention out of respecting privacy is to only mention first names. So your privacy is protected. And if for some reason you don't even want me to do that, I still want you to submit your name. And then just in the question, please say, don't use my name, please. I wish to be anonymous. But it's helpful to me, particularly if I know you, to have the name. And in fact, I'll probably make sure that the forms make that requirement that you put something there. But again, I respect privacy to whatever degree anybody wants that. But it's important to me to know who it is that's asking the question, because I can very often be of greater assistance, so to speak, if I know who it is and I have some sort of a history or a track record or awareness of their journey. Okay, having said that, let's go to the actual question, and let me zoom it up here a little bit so it's easier to read. So I also don't know where this person is in terms of how much of the course they've been through. I'm going to make that required too, because it's important to me. So anyway, this has been an amazing week since I've completed Ultimate Happiness and have watched and listened to some of the extras I missed or couldn't recall seeing. And by the way, this person's using transformational vocabulary, putting a lot of words in quotes, but I'm not going to read the quotes. I have been experiencing many of the stages and experiencing exactly what Robert described for myself. Robert, through the Ultimate Key to Freedom, was always one step ahead of what was appearing in inner and story space in my story, and so accurate to the points which I kept asking questions about. They would get answered in the very next segment of the seminar. That would literally blow my mind. It felt eerie, but so beneficial to helping me become the reader. It felt perfectly timed to my story, and I'm so grateful. It would be interesting to know if others had that similar experience. To clarify my question about an editor, I was searching for the why and wondering if True Creative Essence, me, as writer of my story, ever rewrites, for lack of better term, during the telling process of the story unfolding. I'm fine either way, and joyous to watch the pages turn as in any good story, but curious by design. And so wonder, should it appear to make a major shift midstream, was it designed from the beginning to do so? That is, Robert says he anticipates many more pages and his light getting brighter. Kudos for that, for the benefit to the rest of us in his story too. But does Robert, as True Creative Essence, know, quote unquote, and observes this, has seen it via a vision or dream, or does his character project this into inner space and waits and watches as it appears? Didn't mean to get so technical, given I've lived by the flow for almost 40 plus years now, but can't help delving deeper into the unknown since realizing I truly know nothing. Quite disconcerting, but a relief as well. Okay, I'm not quite sure that I really understand this, but what's screaming in inner space, so to speak, is this once again. Again, nothing wrong with this, no problem, nothing that needs to be corrected. I'm just observing my biased eyes, the truth of what's happening here. This is the mind machine buzzing and whirring and trying to answer its questions again about some things that I've said. So anytime that I say that I've been shown, or that I've had a vision of this, or, you know, I've been told, or any kind of language like that, it means that something has appeared in inner space that communicated information. Now, how that happens can be any of the ways that you know about. It can be a thought that takes the shape of a voice. A lot of times, that's what happens in the Robert story. If I were to have to say, you know, percentages, I would say by far the dominant way that things appear is a voice talking, but it can be anything and has been anything. It can be a video, it can be a picture, a still photograph. If you've listened to the archive or you attended a live Ultimate Key to Freedom or you're an Amethyst member, then you've heard me talk about something that I call a thought ball. When I do the Ultimate Freedom event now live, I've added a different form of thought that I wasn't tracking when I did the videos that you have experienced in the online experience. And that is, I call it a thought ball. And the reason is, it's not a still photograph. It's not a video. It's not a voice. It's not words. It's something that appears in inner space that just seems to somehow communicate information. And it would be probably, if somebody were to try to apply a label to it, they'd apply a label like intuition or sixth sense or whatever, but those things can appear with the other forms. But it's just, it's like a ball of energy in the way that I perceive it with a capital P that communicates information. But it's just somehow I know what the information is, but it's not a picture or a video or words or voice talking. And so that happens a lot too. But when I say stuff about the future and the Robert story or what's coming down the road or things that might happen, it's because something appeared in inner space. And as I've narrated previously in the archive, and I'm sure I'll talk about before, and I talk about in the live 5-day experience that I do now for Ultimate Freedom Intensive, what follows any such appearance is, okay, fine, so that appeared. Maybe it's accurate, maybe it's not accurate. I really don't care. I'll be interested to see. Turn the page. Let's see if that's what happens. You know, same kind of a thing, by the way, can happen when you read a novel or you watch a movie. You can kind of get some sort of an insight into what you think is going to happen later on in the story. And sometimes it's accurate, sometimes it's not. It doesn't really matter to you whether it is or it isn't. But at this point in my story, because of my unique journey, any time a preview of things to come kind of a thing appears. And by the way, if there's any dominant appearance in inner space about that, opinion about that, which again doesn't mean anything, it would be if True Creative Essence showed up tomorrow, and forgive the disconnect in this, it doesn't make sense. I'm just trying to make a point. It wouldn't really happen this way, given that anything that happens was written in advance, like with a novel or a movie. But if True Creative Essence showed up tomorrow and said, hey, Robert, would you prefer that I give you previews of things to come, you know, give you glimpses of things that are going to come down the line in the future? Would you prefer that I say nothing and you can just be surprised when it happens? My preference, meaning buzzword output of the mind machine doesn't mean anything, would be to not get any glimpses, to not get any anything, to just be surprised, just like I am when I'm reading a great novel, watching a great movie. But there are times that these things appear, and when they do, again, I'm aware of it. I make a note of it, you could say, mentally. Don't take that too literally. And then what happens is, okay, fine, great. Let's see if that happens. Big deal, yes. Big deal, no. We'll see what happens. Turn the page. Let's see what's going to happen next in the story, whether it's related to that or not. Doesn't matter. But as best as I understand the question here, I've seen it in the ways that things can appear in inner space, which again is a still photograph, a video, words, which I almost never see, but occasionally, which is why I put it in there as a kind of a thought, a voice talking or a thought ball appearing. And, you know, that's what it is. Okay, cool. Okay, so that completes all the questions, comments, or shares that came in for this week. My, how time flies when you're having fun. 82 minutes. Okay, well, thanks for all the submissions. My apologies again for those of you that were waiting for your responses. I have no other trips or whatever planned in the near future, so I should be back on my schedule of everything just being uploaded once a week on Fridays in general. So thanks a lot for the submissions. I will look forward to our next form of contact, whatever shape that takes. And on that note, I'll say bye-bye for now.